The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." He replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one, they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have purchased a field and must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have just married a woman, and therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out, and still there is room.' The master then ordered the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedgerows, and make people come in that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Well, here's a little passage of Scripture that you'll never hear on a Sunday. Only way to hear this passage of Scripture is at weekday Mass. And it's a tough little nut to crack, a bewildering Gospel passage, and a reminder of an important principle in the study of Scripture: the more difficult the passage is to understand, the more important it is, and the more it has to teach us, and very often the more badly we need it. This little gospel is an allegory. Everything in here stands for something else. The master who offers the dinner, that stands for God. The dinner that's offered, the banquet, that stands for the kingdom of heaven. And all those who are invited to the dinner, now originally when this was first told, that was a reference to the Israelite people, but by extension, that all now applies to us. And here's a little idea just to keep in mind. Whenever you hear a banquet mentioned in the New Testament, what does it refer to? Banquet always refers to the kingdom of heaven, but what's our earthly participation in the banquet of the kingdom of heaven? What is it? I hope you all know. It's the Eucharist that's offered at this table. Now, what's not entirely clear here in this passage of Scripture, and what's particularly helpful to us, is that the excuses people give for not going to the banquet are laughably bad. So one man comes along and he says, "I've just purchased a field and I must go to examine it." You're on your way now to examine a field that you've already purchased? That's a major purchase. Nobody buys a field without having already examined it first. The other guy says, "I've just purchased 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to evaluate them." You're on your way just right now to evaluate 5 yoke of oxen. That's a major purchase. Nobody buys 5 yoke of oxen without already having evaluated them. Just a little aside here, this is a common man. 5 yoke of oxen is what a common man would buy. If you are very wealthy, like, for example, the prophet Elijah, you would buy 12 yoke of oxen. So it's like this man is saying, I just bought a new Chevy, and I'm on my way down to the dealership. Going to find out what color it is? Thought I'd give it a test drive, right? Ridiculously bad excuse. But the worst excuse of all is the last guy. "I've just married a woman, and therefore I cannot come." Come on now. Now you got all the more reason to come. Now you've got a date. But the trouble here, it all hangs together with this one line. One by one, it says, they all began to excuse themselves. This is one of those times when it really helps to look at the original Greek text here, which I've already done for you, don't worry. It says, mia paratestai, And what that literally means is, from the same motive, it says, they all began to excuse themselves. And what's the motive by which they all excused themselves? The motive, quite simply, is that they didn't want to go. And the message to you and me is that our motives for saying no to God are just as bad as theirs. There's really only one motive for resisting God's grace, and that is we just flat out don't want it. So examine yourself and think about this, because you'll hear this all the time. You'll get a young mother who says, I can't pray, I don't have enough time. Well, that's a lousy excuse. When something's important, we make the time for it, don't we? And when something's not important, we make excuses. And people will say, well, you know, I'm not going to go to confession because, you know, I'm not in the right mood. Can I give you a little tiny word of advice for going to confession? Never wait until you're in the right mood. Did you know that the very act of going across town, getting in line for confession, and going through the motions of going to confession is itself an act of repentance sufficient for the forgiveness of your sins? When you need to go to confession, drop your excuses and just go. And then there's one that you've all heard before. Oh, I don't go to church. I never go to church. You know, too many hypocrites. And what's the best answer to that? Don't let that stop you, amigo. There's always room for one more. But when you hear yourself making excuses, beware. You end up finding yourself in fixed habits that you cannot easily get out of. In our Lord's time, whenever anyone offered a banquet, and the original audience who heard this parable would have known this, there were always two invitations to the banquet. Two invitations. The first invitation was far, far in advance of the event, and the second invitation was right before the event happened, such that if you said no to the first invitation, there was no way you could say yes to the second. And what's the great invitation that we've all received far in advance? It's the invitation to the kingdom of heaven. Pope Gregory the Great once said, unless you develop a taste for saying yes to God's grace right now, you'll never taste God's grace in heaven. Beware and know yourself. Your actions have consequences, and your choices are hardening to a point. Eventually, they harden completely, and at the last judgment, God simply ratifies the choices that we've already made. Let's know ourselves and take warning that we will be among those who not only hear God's word, but who hear and answer. Amen.